Part 2, The Way Home. Delusion, Divinity, and the Real Devotee. Devotee, Maharaj, if a devotee falls down and becomes disconnected, is that worse than if he becomes a Sahajiya? Srila Guru Maharaj, which is better, a poor man or a thief? One had money and lost it. The other is imitating that he is wealthy by committing wrong. One who is disconnected may be reconnected again soon. But sahajiya means either that he had a real connection with the truth, became disconnected, then chose a wrong path, or that already he is engaged in the wrong path. So which is the better position, not to get the real thing or to get the wrong thing? Which is superior? In Srimad Bhagavad Gita it is mentioned that in tamoguna, the lowest position, one thinks A to be B. In rajoguna, there is doubt whether this is real or that is real. He cannot ascertain what is true. But to think that A is B and B is A, that is the worst kind of error. They are misguided. Sahajiya means misguided. They are accepting matter as consciousness. So their position is more detrimental than that of those who have nothing or who have lost their connection with the real thing. In a similar way, the conclusion of the Mayavadi section, who think that merging into formless Brahma is the highest end, is more dangerous because a half-truth is worse than a lie. Sudujer maddi vishayi thabu bhalu mayavadi sanga nahi magi kono kala. Sharanagati 27.3. Association with those who are out-and-out sense-enjoyers can never be so detrimental to one's spiritual welfare as is the company of an impersonalist. If one man admits, I have no money, and another who really has no money shows some counterfeit currency and claims this is money, then his condition is worse because he is engaged in falsehood. So to become a sahajiya is worse. He is deceived. His attention is captured by, engrossed in, a wrong conception. One person had some conception for some time and became disconnected, but he may again easily re-establish his connection. But the other has become captivated by a wrong conception. So to convince him of the truth is more difficult, because his mind is possessed and captured by that prejudice. The first person has no engagement. The engagement he had is gone. But the second has mistaken one thing for another. He has taken matter to be divine, and that is worse. Once in my childhood, I heard this example from my teacher in school. He said that in America, there is a school of music, and if anyone had some knowledge of music, to attend that school, he had to pay double the normal fee. But those who had no musical knowledge only had to pay the standard fee. That is, because they do not know anything, so they can be taught easily. But the others, who had some knowledge of music, had to pay double, because everything which they had previously learned would first have to be forgotten, and only then would they be allowed to start learning in the proper way. They had to be taught first to forget their previous prejudices, their misconceptions of musical science. So for them there was a double charge. It is something like that. In one case, no bhakti, no devotion. And in the other, in the name of devotion, some non-devotional thing has captured the man. That is imitation. And worse, it is offensive. Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said it is banchanam, to ridicule the devotees. Mahaprabhu, Rup, Sanatan, it is to ridicule them because it confuses what is Prem and what is Kam. They are at opposite ends, and to accept Kam in the name of Prem is not only heinous and injurious to oneself, but it contaminates the whole atmosphere. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Kame Premi Deku Bhai Lakshanete Bheda Noi Tabu Kam Prem Nahi Hoi Tumita Barile Kam Mityatahi Prema Nam Arupile Kishe Shubha Hoi Keno Manna Kamare Nacho Prema Prai Charma Mam Shamaya Kam Jata Shukha Abhiram Jadabishayete Shada Dhai Kalyana Kalpataru 18-19. Just give your attention to this, my brother. Lust and love, their symptoms may appear as similar. Still, lust is not love. But you have accepted lust in place of love. And if you give the certificate that this is prem, by this mistake you only cheat yourself. By mistaking one thing for another in this way, you will never get anything auspicious. Lust is concerned with flesh and blood, but love is in the highest position of spiritual existence. So they are opposites, like the South Pole and the North Pole. One is concerned with this body, the other with the supersoul. A great gulf lies between them. There is the ocean of dedication, and the highest point of that dedication is Gopi Prem. It only exists where Krishna is, and here there is only imitation. Koti Mukta Maddi Dholaba Eka Krishna Bhakta. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 19.148. Out of many millions of liberated persons, a pure devotee of Krishna is very difficult to find. We must consider all these things. Such dedication is possible only in the highest position of spiritual existence, the conscious area which is all spiritual and is not in any way concerned with flesh and blood. It is not concerned with the body. The most heinous thing is that one will play the part of Krishna and a lady will play the part of a gopi, and they will unite, and in that way they will enjoy. To think this to be that, it is impossible. Any ordinary moral man will hate this. What to speak of the higher devotees, even an ordinary moral man will hate it. The steps are shown to us. Ado shadha tatta sadhu sanga to bhajana kriya tato nata nibritti syat tato nishta ruchistata. Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.4.15. In the beginning is faith, then association with devotees, engagement in service, purging of faults, attainment of steadiness in devotion, spiritual taste, firm attachment, transcendental emotion, and pure love of Krishna. These are the steps. And from another standpoint, Vaikunthara Prithiviyadi Shakala Chinmoy, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 5.53. The earth, water, fire, air and ether of Vaikuntha are all spiritual. We must always remember this. I am the offspring of Tathashta Shakti, the marginal potency. That is where I was born, and I must go through Swarup Shakti, which is higher than me. There the soil is of higher stuff than that of which I myself am made. The earth, the air, the water, the trees, birds, everything there is superior to me. And I am to enter there? It is not a small thing, not an easy thing. It is not within the power of the person who wants to go there to enter. Rather, it is completely dependent on the grace of his superiors, Guru Kripa, Vaishnava Kripa. We have to walk there on our head, not on our feet. All are Guru. The soil is Guru. The entire paraphernalia is guru, superior. I am made of a lower stuff, and that plane is of higher substance, so it is impossible to enter there at my sweet will. To approach that direction, as far as mukti, liberation, may be easy, but thereafter we can only be drawn by their grace. It is not a matter of right that anyone can enter that realm. It is only the wholesale 100% grace of a child of that soil which can take us there. Just as in court there is a guarantor, someone who stands as a guarantee for the subject, so some agent of that soil must take responsibility for me, and at his risk I can go. Vaishnav and Guru, children of that soil, they will take the risk and bring me there. So without their grace, Vaishnav Kripa, Guru Kripa, Bhagavat Kripa, we cannot enter there. No right, all grace, that grace can take me there. From our side, we have no right. I am a child of the marginal potency, but there the whole substance, everything is made of a higher stuff than my own existence. I have my existence as a person, and there they are also all persons, but all there are of an existence superior to me. How then can this person stand on the head of those? Only for their service. Otherwise it is inconceivable and impossible. Even to accept this principle is most difficult. What to speak of entering there? Bahunam janmanamante Jnanavam nam prapadyate Vasudeva sarvamiti Sa mahatma sudulama. Bhagavad Gita 7:19. After many births, one who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, Vasudeva, realizing that it is I who am both the source and substance of all that be. Such a great soul is extremely rare. And Srimad Bhagavatam states, Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana shudulabha prashantatma kotishapi mahamune. 6:14:5. O great sage, out of many millions of souls who are liberated and free from ignorance, and out of many millions of siddhas who have nearly attained perfection, there is hardly one pure devotee of Narayan. Only such a devotee is completely satisfied and peaceful. It is easy to think of, but hard to attain. No right can be established there. It is not as a matter of right that we can go there, so the right seeker will be totally frustrated. We must be prepared for all risk, no gain. But if somehow we can reach there, it will be all gain, no risk. So to become a Vaishnav proper is almost impossible. It is only as a matter of grace from that level that we can go there. There is nothing we can do from our side. Only with complete surrender, complete self-forgetfulness, complete dedication to the interest of that place can we hope to be taken there. Poikundera prithibidya di shakalachinmai maika bhuttera tati janma nahi hoy. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela 5:53. The earth, water, fire, air and ether of Vaikuntha are all spiritual. Material elements are not found there. Uddhava is a devotee of such quality that he prays, if I can be a creeper there, I shall consider my fortune to have reached its highest extent. In Vrindavan, the creeper is such a valuable thing that Uddhava, about whom the Lord says, you are my most favourite devotee, I love you even more than my own self, he is aspiring to take such a birth that will give him that position there. This is not mere hyperbole. When Uddhava is aspiring to be a shrub, to be some grass there, then how are we to prepare ourselves that we shall walk over that place? I shall have to walk over the head of Uddhava? So how much higher a conception must that place be? And the Sahajiyas, ridiculous. By imitation, here in the plane of flesh and blood, they think they will achieve that. They are the worst enemies, because by imitating in this way, not only are they themselves going to hell, but they are attracting so many others there also. They are not conscious of the facts of what is what. So they have got their hated position in society. The general society has got hate for them, those Babajis. But we have to put faith in our Guru Maharaj, who said, "It is my misfortune. I could not find a single Vaishnava in this Brajamandal." Pressing his hand to his forehead, he said, "It is my misfortune that I couldn't find a single Vaishnava in this great holy place of Brajamandal." That was his conclusion. But that is not always best, because by hearing from the proper source, we get the kind of knowledge that gives us impetus to go on in our sadhana. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraja Goswami says, "Siddhanta Balya," we should discuss the Siddhanta, perfect conclusions of devotion. Sanatan Goswami is the Acharya of Siddhanta. One may say, what is the necessity of knowing Siddhanta? What is what? I shall go on chanting the name, and wherever there is any class being given to explain Srimad Bhagavatam or Sri Chaitanya Charitamrit, I shall avoid it. That is all knowledge. Jnane prayasham udapasya. One should totally abandon the unnecessary endeavor of gaining knowledge by discussing empirical philosophical truths. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.3. But the jnana mentioned in this verse does not describe that sort of knowledge which gives us a real conception of what is the devotee and what is God. That knowledge appears similar to jnana externally, but if it is coming from a genuine source, it is of another type, another substance. The warning about jnana is given because anyone may give any kind of interpretation of the revealed scriptures. It is not that we should try to know anything and everything, that whatever anyone will say, we will run there to learn something. But when there is any revelation coming through a real agent who is higher than us, we should be very earnest to hear. That will consolidate our position and help us to go on, to progress in our sadhana. We should not reject as knowledge that Siddhanta. Who is Krishna, and how he is Swayam Bhagavan? Who is Narayan? Where are the 24 layers of misconception, that is, the 24 elements by which the Bhadajiv conditioned soul is covered? Where is Vaikuntha, Golok? Who is Baladev? What are all the different rasas? If I say, oh no, this is all jnan, dismiss it and take the name, that is foolishness. It should be considered as indolence or idleness. We should invite that knowledge which will enhance our faith more profoundly. One should welcome such discussions. The Lord Himself says, "Mad chitta mad gata prana bodayanta parasparam katayantas chamang nityam tushanticha ramanticha." Bhagavad Gita 10.9. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss, always enlightening one another and conversing about me. So in the association of these sadhus, to discuss about him from different standpoints is not knowledge to be abandoned. Rather, it should be spontaneously and naturally encouraged. It is called Ishta Goshti. Goshti means combination, and Ishta, desirable company. In that association, we must talk about him. That is a necessary part of devotion. And when bhava bhakti, true devotional feeling, awakens, automatically these things will come. Krantir abhyata kalatam viraktir mana sunyata ashabanda samutkandha namagane sadaruchi ashaktistad gunakhyane pritistad vasitishthale ityadayo nubhavashur chata bhavankure jane. Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1:3, 25-26. When the seed of ecstatic emotion for Krishna fructifies in the heart of the devotee, the following symptoms naturally manifest in his behavior. He feels forbearance. He doesn't like to waste any time. He is detached from the mundane. He is free from pride. He lives in full hope. He is always eager to serve. He always has a taste for chanting the Lord's name. He loves to tell of the divine qualities of the Lord. And he loves the holy abode of the Lord. These nine are called anubhav, subordinate signs of ecstatic love. If a sadhu, spontaneously out of his own accord, is expressing so many qualities of Krishna, and we go away losing the benefit of that, it is suicidal. Rather, we need attachment for that, ashakti. Oh, the good qualities of Krishna are being explained through this agent. I must try to give my ear to that. Otherwise, why has the ear been created? It has been created only to receive tidings of him. The ear and the brain have been created for that purpose only, and both must have their fulfillment in Krishna Katha, Hari Katha. For what purpose is the Gita there, the Bhagavat? What is Maya? What is Svarup Shakti? What is real knowledge? And what is misconceived, apparent knowledge? All these things we must know to a certain extent, because to avoid what is undesirable and to accept what is desirable presupposes some sort of knowledge at every step of our progress. So, jnane prayasam udapasya, to abandon fruitless knowledge seeking, does not mean we must not talk about Krishna amongst ourselves, or that when a sadhu is explaining about the Lord's naam, rup, gun, lila, names, forms, qualities and pastimes, we should flee from that place. It is not like that. By jnana, in the sense used here, is meant the teachings of the Shankhya of the atheist Kapila, the schools of Patanjali, yoga, Jaimini, Karma Mimamsa, the Buddhist school, etc. And the advice to avoid them is also meant for the beginner. But the preacher will have to come into contact with everything to smash them. And also sometimes jnana, knowledge which is necessary, can come from within. There is a stage of devotion when the necessary knowledge comes from within automatically. There is a stage of bhakti where things occur in this way. It is revelatory. Through revelation we can understand. Without any study, but being supplied internally by Chaita Guru, the Lord as our inner guide, sometimes knowledge of devotion may come to us. But generally it will be by hearing from the lips of the devotees. So the plane, the conception of Krishna in Vrindavan, is not lacking in chit, in knowledge. Chit means chaitan, that is, consciousness, to know. It is not in want of grandeur and awe, such as is found in Vaikuntha. But when anand, joy, ecstasy, takes precedence over chit, then it is advised, don't endeavour much through knowledge. There is sat chit anandam, eternity, knowledge and bliss. And by chit, by the faculty of knowing and understanding, we cannot achieve everything. But everything comes automatically to us by service. In service there is also knowledge, a department of knowledge, and that develops automatically. The sweetest struggle. devotee. Srila Guru Maharaj, some time ago I was told that if one is not struggling in Krishna consciousness, it is not a good thing. Should that be the condition of someone who is striving to be Krishna conscious, that he is struggling? Srila Guru Maharaj, when a devotee is trying to conquer his senses, when he's trying to conquer the influences of kama, krodh, lobe, moha, mada, matsarya, lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion and envy, at that time he cannot avoid that struggle. Progress means a struggle of different kinds, and that happens in the stage of madhyam adhikar, the intermediate stage. Generally, that is the time of difficulties. In kanishta adhikar, in the lower stage, one does not concern himself with the stage of his progress, or if he's getting devotion or not. With a peaceful mind, he is engaged in archan, deity worship, or whatever may be his service. But when the stage of madhyam adhikar begins, real struggle begins in one's life. He will have to adjust many things, laukiki, vaidiki, vapi, not only regarding his devotional life, as advised by the scriptures, vaidiki, but also his social position, laukiki, his ordinary dealings, his quarrels, his relationships with society, with education. Generally, the tendency to preach comes in this stage. He wants to extend himself to try to remove the difficulties in the environment and convert it to his purpose. The Madhyam Adhikari's life is one of struggle. And when he reaches Uttam Adhikar, the advanced stage of realization, then he becomes somewhat peaceful in his life. He becomes peaceful. He sees that everywhere things are going well, according to the will of Krishna. He can see the will of Krishna very easily, and that his backing is everywhere. So he has not much to do or to struggle for. Sarva bhuteshu jag pashyet bhagavat bhavam atmana bhutani bhagavat atmani esha bhagavat uttama. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:2-45. One on the topmost platform of devotional service, Uttam Bhagavat, sees within everything the soul of souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. He sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and understands that everything that exists is eternally situated within the Lord. But when one is living in the plane of ignorance, of misconception, it is necessary for him to find harmony, because he is seeing both things, Maya, illusion, and Ishvar, the presence of Godhead. He wants to install Ishvar, God, godliness, God consciousness, and he tries his hardest to remove misconception. So Madhyam Adhikar is a period of struggle. It is in the stage of sadhana dasha, the stage of practice. As a result of sukriti, spiritual fortune due to devotional service rendered knowingly or unknowingly, the soul first acquires shraddha, divine faith. Then sadhu sangha, one gets the association of real devotees. That is the stage of hearing, shravan dasa. Then varana dasa, one accepts the principle, the teachings, the path of devotion. And then comes sadhana dasa, the stage of practice, and this stage is full of struggle. Then in the apana dasa stage of advanced realization, one feels peaceful in bhava bhakti, the first opening of the bud of divine love, which in the stage of prapanna dasa, full surrender, becomes prema bhakti, pure love of God. And again, when he is already in Leela, situated in the transcendental pastimes, there is another struggle, but that is of another kind. In Braj, Vrindavan, there is also competition, a struggle. Yashoda will think, how to control this naughty child I fail to do so. I can't manage him. In this way there is struggle, but that is produced by yoga maya. It is in prema bhakti, ahi bhavati premna, and it is dynamic in character, not static. Where the plane is dynamic, there must be struggle. In some way or other, it is present as competition in the plane of lila. In the Sakya Ras, there is play where there are two parties. On one side is Krishna, on the other Balaram, and each wants to be victorious. That is also a struggle, but it is purely of another kind. It is transcendental play. In Madhu Rasa also, several parties are there. Radharani's party, Chandravali's party, and so many others. And the servitors of each party have to manage for their own interest, the interest of their mistress. So the dynamic character means a kind of struggle, a sweet struggle. And in this world there is struggle also, but that is bitter. When we have to struggle to remove the nescience and invite the real science to go from misunderstanding to pure knowledge, in the beginning that struggle is very bitter. It is not only tasteless, but also sometimes painful. But when we enter the higher realm, the struggle becomes more or less sweet. Leela must mean a kind of struggle. There are differences. There is conquering. Sometimes they are taking the help of deception. One party is deceiving the other, but everything is aprakrit, prakritavat, super transcendental, though it is appearing just like ordinary worldly affairs. And so also something like immorality is there, niti rahit. The moral laws are being crossed for the satisfaction of Krishna. This is a very high conception, to do anything and everything for him. The Kama Rupa group are prepared to do anything and everything for Krishna, and for that kind of service they are under no law. Krishna is the origin and master of law, and for him anything can be done, crossing the existing law of the society. Aggajayvang gunang doshang mayadishtannapi svakan dharman santyajyasyok sarvang mang bhajita satu satama. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.32. Those who are ready to cross even the Shastric orders, which have been given to us for our own benefit, for the service of Krishna, are really the highest class of devotee. Law, which has been established by the Lord, is for the ordinary people. However, a special section exists who are ready to cross over that law only for their exclusive service to the Lord. Sarva dharman padityaja mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami ma sucha. Bhagavad Gita 18.66. Totally abandoning all kinds of religion, surrender exclusively unto me. I will liberate you from all kinds of sins, so do not despair. Many rules and rites of Varnashram Dharma are given for our benefit, but that is when we are in a lower stage. And in the higher stage, crossing the law I shall serve him, that is faith. Suppose it is forbidden to enter the harem of the king. The general law states that it is forbidden to all, and none should transgress that. But if one perceives some urgent service is necessary, if he suspects there is some danger to the king's life, then perhaps he will cross the law at his own risk and enter the harem for the benefit of the king to save him. So there is a particular section of devotees who are ready to cross over the law for the Lord's satisfaction. Those who can know the interest of Krishna are a special group. They are highest among the devotees. Law is meant for the general public, But the sweet will of Krishna is above all law. So everywhere there is struggle. Where there is life, there is struggle. Where there is progress, there is struggle. And where there is lila, play, there is struggle, though of a different kind. One is sweet, the other is painful. In the lower stage, it is a little painful for us to cut the tie of attraction to this world. But when some permanent relationship is established with the upper world, when we have regained that, then to move forward is happy. Since progress means a struggle, that struggle will continue throughout the whole stage of Madhyam Adhikar. Then in Uttam Adhikar, the stage of advanced devotion, externally the life may become peaceful. And again, in the higher stage, in Bilas, pastimes, crossing Shantaras, passive appreciation and adoration, which is a peaceful stage, again the struggle begins, but that is a sweet struggle. It is arranged not by Mahamaya, but by Yogamaya. It is carrying us to the center. The very land there is of rasa. It is rasamoy, full of sweet taste, the land of nectar, amritamaya lok. The difference between the two kinds of struggle is something like the experience of a man working in a hot desert or in a good, healthy atmosphere, or the work of a diseased man and that of a healthy man. It is like that. There is also an expression, ignorance is bliss. One who is in ignorance is living in peace because he doesn't know anything. He is unconscious. That is also peaceful because there is no consciousness, there is no pain. When a patient is in pain, the doctor wants to render him unconscious by some injection and to keep him in that state, because if he awakes, he will experience so much pain, acute pain. So it is necessary that he be placed in another state, unconsciousness. That unconsciousness is ignorance. And it also has a kind of taste, tamoguna. But that is not real peace. There is no feeling. It is zero. But zero is also of an infinite character. Infinity and zero are similar. If we add zero to zero, it becomes zero. And if we subtract zero from zero, it is also zero. Zero divided by zero, again zero. In the same way, if infinity is added to, subtracted from, or divided by infinity, it all comes to infinity. So, ignorance is bliss. If there is no consciousness, there is no question of pain. It is like the existence of a stone. The extreme liberationists reach such a stage as that of a fossil or a stone. They want peace. So they are given a stone-like state of peace. Jainye ravindaksha vimuktamaninas thayashta bhavad avishuddha buddhaya aruha krichena parang padang tata patant ado nadit jushmad angrahaya. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32. O lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe penances and austerities to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, their intelligence remains impure. They simply speculate in various ways and do not seek the means to take shelter of you. Because they have no regard for your lotus feet, they simply fall down from their position of imagined superiority into material existence again. To those who are determined to be one with him, this heavy punishment is at last given, and they are thrown down to take such an existence, that of a stone, and in that way they can live in peace for lakhs, crores, or millions of years. They can become a Himalaya, a stone, or a tree. In the Puranas we find examples of personalities who are cursed to such a fate. And in that state there also is a sort of peace. Ignorance is bliss. And those who have gone up to Shantaras, they also find some peace. But entering Vaikuntha, again there is life, movement, and that is for service. In Dasyaras there is activity, there is struggle. They are serving the order. Do this, go here, give this to them. There is so much movement, and movement means struggle, but that struggle gives peace. That kind of struggle begins in Dasya Ras, and Shanta Ras is the marginal position, and in that position of non-activity there is also peace, but it is of a lower quality. Atma Ramas Cha Munayo Nirgrantha Aparukrame Kurvanta Haitu King Bhaktim Itang Bhuta Guno Hari, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.10. All varieties of Atma Ramas, those who take pleasure in the Atma or spiritual self, especially those established on the path of self-realization, though freed from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including even liberated souls. That is the marginal position. It is only on the threshold of service proper. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Na Shochati Na Kankshati Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. Bhagavad Gita 18:54. The spotlessly pure-hearted and self-satisfied soul who has attained to his conscious divine nature neither grieves nor craves for anything. Seeing all beings equally in the conception of my supreme energy, he gradually achieves supreme devotion, prema bhakti, unto me. So the marginal position is a position of so-called peace. But we find dynamic peace in struggle, as it appears externally in Dasya, Sakya and Vatsalya rasas, and in Madhura rasa and its subdivisions, Shvakya and Parakya. Suppose the Madhura rasa servitors are to meet with Krishna on a dark night in the forest. On the surface, it appears they have to struggle in so many ways. Being given the sign, hearing the particular flute song of Krishna, they will have to pass through the jungle to be somewhere at a particular time. That appears like an ordinary struggle, but it is the sweetest movement. If struggle means movement, then there, on that plane, where movement is so sweet, struggle is a high thing. But if we think that struggle means something painful, then that struggle must be of the lower plane. Here it is pain-producing. All movement, all endeavor here produces only pain. On the higher plane there is also movement, but that movement produces sweetness, just as sandalwood, when rubbed, produces a sweet scent. There is struggle for the purpose of producing sweetness. So there on the highest level, they are also very busy struggling, but that struggle is producing nectar, which they are tasting. To struggle also means to be busy. Everyone there is so busy, more than we can ever conceive. They are so active, but their activity is not painful. It produces peace. Here, trying to do away with our unholy attraction to the mundane, we experience a painful struggle. But, as the English poet Shelley wrote, our sweetest songs tell of saddest thought. That kind of struggle also gives us peace. When a beginner in devotion starts to become detached from his mundane environment, to leave it is painful. But he also gets a kind of peace. Jad anucharita lila karna pidusha viprut Sakrid adanavibhuta dvandva dharma vinashta. Shapadi griha kutumbam dinam ustricha dina. Bahava iha bihanga bhikshu chajam charanti. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-18. A devotee leaves his family, and his family is crying and wailing. He also feels pain because of their anguish. But still he feels a kind of peace of a higher quality, so he can bear the apparent pain of separation from his family life. When he is giving up his home and his family, he feels some painful reaction, but beyond that, in his heart of hearts, he feels some bright prospect. When a man goes to a foreign country to earn some money, he leaves his family, and so he feels some pain. But at heart, he also realizes that he's going to bring in money which will satisfy him and enable him to enjoy. In a similar way, when a person goes to leave this world, his association with misconception, apparently or outwardly, he feels pain on account of what he's doing, but at heart he gets some hope of a bright future, and with that strength he can go on. So when we have some attraction for this mischievous world, and we try to leave it, at that stage we struggle, a painful struggle. But still, beyond that, we see a bright hope of some unparalleled nectarian taste of life. So struggle does not always mean pain. Up to a certain stage, it is painful, and that is due to maya, misconception. And we find also the symptoms of pain in Krishna Leela. But that is not really pain. It is apparent pain. It only seems so. Krishna said that he would come to a particular kunj, forest bower, and Radharani with her party went there, but he did not come. That is called kalahantarita, mistiming, that is, being let down by the lover or beloved. And there are so many other situations, like mana, jealousy, etc. All these things are painful, but as Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami writes, describing Krishna Prem, Bahe Visha Jvalahoy Pitare Anandamai. Externally there appears to be great pain, but the heart is overflowing with blissfulness. So, our sweetest songs are those which tell of saddest thought. Externally it is sad, but internally it is sweet. It is like that. When we take the name, in the beginning we think it is our duty to count so many rounds, and sometimes it is painful. But when we get a taste for the name, then our inner tendency incites us to take the name more and more, not that as a duty we will somehow have to finish 16 rounds. But when we acquire ruchi, inner taste for that particular service, it is happy. Until and unless we acquire that position, there must be some pain. As long as we do not have that taste, and we are doing that service as a duty, we will feel some pain. So sadhana dasa is a little painful on the whole. Then in apana dasa it becomes sweet. Underground, of course, sweetness is everywhere. Otherwise, why should a person be tempted to approach the spiritual path? Only for the hope of sweetness. But still, if we want to see by analysis, then the process is shravanadasa, hearing, then bharanadasa, accepting, then sadhanadasa, practicing. Up to this point, it is a little painful. Then apanadasa, realized devotion, and finally prapanadasa, full self-surrender. And what pain exists is only apparent. Substantially, it is all sweet. Heart and halo. The prejudice of our past experience, caught within us in a subtle form, has covered, like dust, the eye of our soul. Our inner vision is densely covered with the dust of so many different misconceptions of separate interest, causing us to ignore the universal interest. This mental cover is made up of the prejudices of local and provincial interest, and it keeps us from seeing reality. Vishaya dhulite kamunese paratattva paye dekite. How will a person be able to read the universal wave when his mind is fully engrossed with local interest of different kinds? How can one detect the universal interest, the universal wave? Only one who has fully eliminated all kinds of local interest and is eager to understand the universal wave can see it clearly. Arteshu abhigyasvarat. What is the purpose of the movement of this world? The answer is clear. For itself. Reality is for itself, not to satisfy many, but to satisfy one. All the waves are meant to satisfy that one, and if we can put ourselves on that level, we can understand the truth. Otherwise, we are all cheaters. We are far from the truth when we cannot see that everything, all waves, are flowing towards the satisfaction of one, Swayam Bhagavan. We are laboring under a deception. We are deceivers who are not just deceiving ourselves, but the world also. We are guilty of misunderstanding everything and of carrying that false knowledge to others. Everyone, all the Bhadajivas, are more or less cheaters. That is our position, and we must be relieved of such misunderstanding, such deception of our own self, as well as of the environment, if we are to be placed in our proper position. Then we can go there and find that universal wave, see it, darshan. Darshan means to see, and how to see, that must be learned. What to see? How to read what is going on in myself and outside, that is proper understanding and proper education. A proper understanding of one's own self and also of the environment is proper education. Education must be Vedic. The standard must be drawn from outside this area of Maya, misunderstanding. It must be drawn from the perfect realm through Veda, revealed truth. We must accept revealed truth and bid farewell to so-called scientific knowledge and other kinds of perceptions, which are all erroneous, based on false experience and false information. It belongs to me. It belongs to him. It belongs to them. This calculation is all false. So we have to be relieved. We have to get wholesale relief from this mania, this misconception. And not only must we get relief from the misconception, from misunderstanding the external waves, but we must attain a positive position to learn to understand the wave, the vibration of Golok. Golok is the most universal, most fundamental plane. And if we can harmonize ourselves with that plane, we will be led to Vrindavan or Navadvip, and there we shall see things as they are. Some are more attracted to Krishna Leela, others more towards Navadvip Leela, and others have an inclination to be accommodated in both places. In Krishna Leela also, some are attracted to Radharani's camp, some to Krishna's camp, and some are holding the middle position. We find this sort of division, and that is necessary for the Leela, by the arrangement of Yoga Maya. So in the highest plane, we find two kinds of pastimes, Krishna Leela and Gaura Leela, and they are of the same value. In one there is transaction within a limited camp, and in the other, there is transaction along with a tendency towards distribution to others. But they are of the same value. That which is being distributed and that which is being enjoyed are of one and the same value of ecstasy, sweetness, love and beauty. Some are more attracted to the one lila, some to the other. Within Gaura lila also, we find those like Narahari Sarkar and his followers, who are more given to Krishna than Gauranga, and others who are more inclined towards Gauranga than to Krishna. This is all by the grant of the Lord, the Supreme Will, His Leela. In Gaura Leela, Gadadhar Pandit is holding the helm. Everything belongs to him. Still he has to admit he is dispossessed, that Gauranga has taken everything. He is exhaustively dedicated to Gauranga. So Srila Kaviraj Goswami says, Teho Lakshmi Rupa Thar Samakeha Nai, that he represents the main potency of Gauranga, and no one is to be compared with him. This is the conclusion of Srila Kaviraj Goswami about Sri Gadadhar Pandit. He is Gaura Premamai, the embodiment of Sri Gaura's love. Gadadhar Das represents the halo of Radharani, but Gadadhar Pandit represents her mood, her nature, her heart. Footnote. In the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita purports by Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Adi Lila 10.15, it is stated that Srila Gadadhar Pandit, the fourth branch of the Chaitanya tree, is the combination of Srimati Radharani and Lalita Shakhi. In the Pancha Tattva, Srila Gadadhar Pandit represents the internal potency or pleasure potency of the Lord. In Adi Lila 10.53, it is explained that Srila Gadadhar Das, the 23rd branch of the Chaitanya tree, is considered to be a united form of Chandrakanti, who is the effulgence of Srimati Radharani, and Purananda, who is the foremost of Lord Balaram's very dear girlfriends. Thus, Srila Gadadhar Das was one of the associates of both Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Returning to the text, it is as if Mahaprabhu has taken away Gadadhar Pandit's soul and the body is still standing. That is the position of Gadadhar Pandit. He is quite empty and following Mahaprabhu. He is not full in himself. Something, the most important thing, his heart, has been taken by Mahaprabhu. So he has no other alternative but to follow him. He is wholly given to Mahaprabhu. Gadadhar Pandit's position, the part he played, was something like that of Radharani, her heart stolen by Krishna, the empty body still standing. Radha Bhavadyuti Subalitam Naomi Krishna Svarupam. He was fully engrossed in the conception of Sri Gauranga. Gauranga had taken everything from him, so he had no other alternative. He was fully engrossed, captured completely by him. We find his activity throughout his whole life was like this. Of the other devotees, some were ordered to go to Vrindavan, and some were allowed to go there. But though Gadadhar Pandit wanted to visit Vrindavan with Mahaprabhu himself, he was denied. No, you won't go. When Jagadananda Pandit asked to go there, Mahaprabhu, with hesitation, granted him permission. Yes, go there, but move always under the guidance of Rupa and Sanatan. He also gave him some special instructions, do this and this and don't do that. But Gadadhar Pandit was not allowed to go there. He was the representation of Srimati Radharani herself. Yet his peculiar position was such, the queen of Vrindavan, but now transferred to Navadvip. His position had become just the opposite. He could not enter Vrindavan. He prayed for permission, but Mahaprabhu did not give it. He said, no, stay and live here. And he had to do so. Sri Gadadhar Pandit represents the predominated moiety of the whole. The whole consists of predominating and predominated moieties, and he represents the predominated half. He is one half of the Absolute Truth. In the teachings of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whose preaching was inspired by Sri Gadadhar Pandit and Sriman Mahaprabhu, we also find all the substance that is present in that plane of vibration. These two personalities, Sri Gadadhar Pandit and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, are our great gurus, our guides, and by offering our worship to them, we can sow the seed of our highest benefit. By the grace of that great Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada, we have been able to understand this. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, though generally he has his own position as understood from the consideration of the disciple, Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has seen Srimati Radharani in him, a relative vision. He once said that Radharani represents the full play of Ashtanayaka, the eight characteristics of the heroine. We see that they are all perfectly represented in her. In other places, we may find partial representations of them, but we find them fully manifest only in her. He said, "I see my Gurudev as Guna Manjari, and in that Manjari form, he has some partial representation of Radharani. But if I attempt to look more deeply, I find him identified fully with her. The eight kinds of qualities displayed in the service of Krishna, Ashtanayaka, are to be found there. If I look at him with my head a little more erect, I can see that he is one with Radharani. Acharyam mam vijaniyat. Know the Acharya as myself. If I give more attention to this Shastric rule and try to search out the meaning, I find that Radharani comes to take her place there in the position of my Gurudev." In this way, he has seen in Bhaktivinoda Thakur the fullest representation of the cult of Sri Gauranga. This realization is expressed in his poem, where he says that he saw Swarup Damodar Goswami in Gaur Kishore Das Babaji and Sri Gadadhar Pandit in Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In one place he has written, "Gadadhar Din Dhari Bhajache Gaura Hari," that he has accepted the day of the disappearance of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur to be identified with that of Sri Gadadhar Pandit. In another place, in his poem at the conclusion of his Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita commentary, he has written, "Here in Navadvip Dham, the eternal pastimes are going on continuously. Only those who have got that deep vision can perceive it. Gadadhar Mitravar, Sri Sharupa Damodar, Sada Kala Gaura Krishna Jaji, Jogatera Dhekki Klesh, Dharya Bhikshukabesh, Arahar Krishna Nama Bhaje, Sri Gaur Ichai Dui, Mahima Ki Kavamui, Aprakrit Parishadakata, Prakat Haya Seve, Krishna Gaur Abhinna Deve, Aprakasya Kata Jata Tata." He says, "It is very difficult to perceive the sweet will of Sri Gauranga. But if we can lift ourselves to that level, we see that Swarup Damodar Goswami and Sri Gadadhar Pandit are always engaged in their service here in Navadvip. Sometimes it is suppressed, and sometimes it is appearing on the surface. In that plane, all is going on by the sweet will of Sri Gauranga, without any restriction. But now I find that these two have appeared on the surface as Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I have seen it with my own eye of divine service. But this is not to be advertised, not to be given publicity anywhere and everywhere. People will laugh at it. But this is my heartfelt conclusion." He has written this in his poem concluding Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Godara Pandit was identified with Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That was the vision of our Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He could see in them the same identity. He considered Shiksha Guru Parampara to be the most substantial thing. Eliminating the Sahajyavad, which gives much importance to the outer cover, try to look within and see things more deeply. Try to understand the deeper vibrations of the outside environment and see within yourself also. Dive deep and you will find the plane of the finest vibration which will carry that news to you and you will see that truth. End of the book, Heart and Halo.